So let's move on to a couple different subjects. One I know is near and dear to your heart, and we've talked about it in the past, and that's community choice aggregation. How is that proceeding? I'm sure it's disrupted by COVID-19, but, you know, how so?
Yeah, so the community choice aggregation, which is a project to negotiate our energy prices for residents throughout the capital region, really, we're partnered with 13 other municipalities. And we're lucky that we got on it at the right time and we're able to do our big round of public education and authorize our local law before any of this shutdown started, because that means that the company that we're working with, the Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, is able to still move forward with finding the best supplier for the best price and the most renewable electricity we can buy. And so they're still moving forward with that. We're hoping to get responses to the RFP by early June. We'll then decide what our default electricity option will be for the residents of Troy. That'll depend on what the bids that come back are. We are seeing right now with the energy markets where they are, electricity is dropping in price, and it could be a pretty good time to lock in a steady rate. But we're going to have to see what those numbers are and do some analysis on where we think energy markets are going and how good a rate we can get right now to make sure that we're not committing to a steady rate that then is going to actually be a bad deal for people. So that's the work we're working on right now, and able to continue that really as if, you know, that's all work we can do from home. Mm-hmm. Once we pick a supplier in June, there's going to be another round of public education, and a lot of that, depending on where things are, either we'll, you know, hopefully we're able to meet in person, but we can also, we're also thinking about ways to do that education via videos and Facebook and other social media platforms to make sure people know the options that are coming to them, and make sure that when people get a new electricity rate on their utility bill come October, those rates will be not a surprise to people, but will be a welcome benefit.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to put us on pause for 1 second so I can give my cat some something to eat so she will shut up. Hang on 1 second.
Sounds good.
All right, so CCA. I was kind of wondering about that, whether I would guess it would be much cheaper to stick with social media rather than going old school and doing a mass mailing or anything. But you do have a lot of people trapped at home.
So no matter what, the CCA education will culminate with a mass mailing, which is a letter that includes all the details for everyone that may not have seen the discussion before. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we do discussion before so that when people get their letter and go to social media to ask what it's about, there are some number of people that know how to answer that question. But we do expect the majority of people in Troy will find out about CCA through that letter that will go out to everyone before any actual changes are made. And that's an opt-out letter that actually enables them to choose, hey, I don't want this to happen. Mm-hmm. But assuming we get numbers that are good, it'll make a case and say, hey, you know, this is the rate that you're going to pay, and you're going to save this if you remain on this plan, or you have the opportunity to opt up or down to a different option. Mm-hmm. So that letter will probably be the primary mode of information, but we do want to make sure that there are community advocates that know what decisions are being made and make sure that they're able to help inform their neighbors as well.
I want to move on to another topic, which is more dear to my heart, and that is Norlight.
Yeah.
I know that the city council voted on a resolution supporting, I'll just read the title of it, which is Resolution Supporting New York State Legislature Bill A9952 and S7880 to prohibit the incineration of firefighting foam containing per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, otherwise known as PFAS. And this all relates to the Norlight plant over in Cohoes, which has been incinerating toxic waste for decades, and in the last 2 years, it recently came to light, has been incinerating firefighting foams containing PFAS, which of course is not supposed to incinerate, and is of a type similar to what has plagued Hoosick Falls. And It's unclear whether they're still doing that at this point. The bill has not passed, and you know the legislature is kind of in lockdown like all the rest of us, so it doesn't look like it's going to proceed anytime soon. My colleague Alexis Goldsmith has been keeping an eye on what's occurring over at Norlite, and it seems like they are incinerating things again late at night, and so it's unclear what they're doing at this point. Besides this resolution, is there anything that the City of Troy or the City Council can do or has plans to do at this point?
So this is obviously a big concern for us as well. I know the Mayor of Cahoes was working on it as well to help at least stop incineration of these until the state is able to act. But I don't know what the status of that is either. I guess I'd be curious as to how we know whether they're incinerating things or just their normal Norlite operations. I think their core business is just heating up shale to make their product Norlite.
That process involves the incineration of toxins. That's how they fuel that incinerator. So
I thought it was just that incinerator is super hot for that process, and a byproduct of that is that they're able to get these contracts to incinerate things.
Not really. I mean, that's how they present it, but that's not the reality of it. The reality of it is that they get the bulk of their funding from processing these toxins, incinerating them.
Gotcha.
And then the byproduct that they represent as their actual product is really more just a byproduct.
More just a byproduct. Interesting.
Yeah.
So certainly continues to be a concern at the top of our minds. We haven't seen any evidence of it actively impacting our systems. We do actively test our water for these compounds. And so I do want to make it clear that Troy's water is safe, but we don't want a company around here to be putting that in danger, which is why we're supporting the state in banning it. I don't know what other authority we would have to stop it, but it's certainly something worth exploring if the state isn't able to act on this quickly.
Well, I would think that it would involve, you know, reaching out to surrounding communities, trying to get other city councils or like organizations to pass similar resolutions, and then also starting to go to the offices of assembly people and senators. Obviously, nobody can do that right now, but perhaps virtually. And just the weight of your office and the collective effort, I think, would start to have an impact.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. And I think that was the intention behind passing this legislation, is then to bring it directly to them and say, hey, we really need you to act on this. You're right. I think that a lot of things got halted with the lockdown, but I think it's worth another loop back, because things are locked down, certainly if they're still incinerating and they still need to be regulated.
When I was looking at the record of who voted on that, I guess you weren't able to be there at that particular meeting. But it was four votes in favor of the resolution, and then one abstained, and that was Carmela. And I'm wondering, given that this is just a public health issue, do you have any idea what her motivation was on that?
Yeah, so Council President Mantello maintains that because she works for a state senator, she's not able to participate in discussion or votes lobbying the state senate to do anything. So that was just a technical thing. I'm sure she's supportive of the concept. Mm-hmm. I think Councilmember Zalewski has gotten guidance from the Senate Ethics Office saying it's fine to participate, but for whatever reason, Council President Mantello's office or understanding of it is that she should abstain, so she continues to do that.
Right. So why don't we wrap this up? When is the next City Council meeting?
So we have a finance committee meeting this Thursday night at 6:00. So certainly encourage folks to check out the agenda and submit comments to cityclerk@tryny.gov to be read on the meeting at the beginning of that meeting. And then we have a regular council meeting the first Thursday in May.
And are there any issues on the agenda that you want to bring to people's attentions so they can submit comments ahead of time?
Yeah, so I mean, this agenda primarily deals with the three bonding issues that I mentioned. For infrastructure projects, it also does have our application for CDBG funding and home funding from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. At this point, we're applying under the current budget, although we're certainly hopeful that that is an area that we'll see some increased funding coming out of this as the nation's focus really does land on housing as a vulnerable and an opportunity to benefit people's lives. So right now our plan is to continue sort of what we have been doing around sidewalk improvements and first-time homeowner programs, those sort of things. And then there's also a settlement with the firefighter union. The firefighters have been out of contract with their union for a few years now, and so that went all the way to arbitration, and we've come to a settlement with them that involves significant payout of back raises for a few years, totaling about a bit over $800,000. So that will be on this budget as well, on this agenda as well.
Okay. Any other things you want to add? Or is that about it?
Well, I guess, obviously, thanks everybody for staying indoors to the extent you can and keeping Troy safe. I do miss you all. Feel free to reach out by email or phone, and we'll stay in touch.